on the difference between the sources of pleasure coming from the etzem, from within our in Jewish and in our Torah observance, and how going after external pleasures is a churban for the relationship that we have with Hashem. You know, spoke about some important things yesterday, the importance of being balanced, the importance of being slowly getting in touch with exactly what's going on, not to jump from one end to the other. Also has its problems, and important yesodis that came out yesterday. Just let me see where we got up to. I don't know if I can find. Oh, here we go. Okay. So Kuf Chaf Tes at the bottom of the page. Like this. It's obvious that Adam Machapes Oichel or Adam Rive. Somebody who's looking for food, it's because he's hungry. The person's running around, he wants something to eat, he's hungry, that's just looking for food. Adam Shtesova, someone who's satisfied, is full. Somebody is full, he doesn't run around looking for food. Someone who is spiritually fulfilled, he doesn't go around looking for spiritual pleasures outside of where he's getting his spiritual pleasure from. The Neicha calls those, that doesn't mean that a person can't go to the beach or go on holidays. They're always saying, not saying you should not kill him. The question is, it can be done as an avoider, or is it can be done just because I'm running away from myself. The Neicha calls those, Lani Ladat, Tilachidir Lilibeinu, Shain Kamoini Mosharim Beteva. We have to first start recognizing and looking at it carefully and recognizing and seeing that there's no one else in the world that is as lucky and as happy and as satisfied as we are. And the Boy in Hashem Elokeinu, first of all, we have a special position in this world, is that we're the king's children. That's a very different type of way of getting on in your existence. If you're the king's son, you live in the kingdom, and your father's the king, so that already gives you a slight edge. Who are we talking about here? Whose children are we? We're the children of the creator of the universe. He does everything. There's nothing in the world that happens without him. He is everything. And he's also waiting for us. He wants us. He loves us. He cares for us. He's out there taking care of every aspect of our lives all the time. There's many times we make him happy with our deeds, we make him sad, we've done good our deeds. But instead, what that means, obviously, you can't make Hashem sad or happy, because then that would mean that he's not kol yochol and infinite. But in the Gilim, where he's magal himself to us in the world, not in his essence, from our perspective, we say these words. But obviously, we can't affect Hashem's moods, but obviously nonsense. But in the world that he set up, yeah, he does. When we talk about the Tzara Shina, we talk about these things. In Neda Zeus to be heroes, if we would know this with clarity, like proper clarity means real, like when you sit down in a chair, you're not scared of falling because there's a chair there. That's how real it has to be. In Ibaina Mola Simcha, he'd be walking around completely the Simcha. Velona Chapes, so Isha bin Yoni Machit Soinim, Vachum Rim. The person has this happiness, he has his own vibrant, viable happiness inside himself through his relationship with Hashem and his Torah and his Yiddishkeit. But he doesn't go looking for pleasure in other places. First of all, he doesn't go looking for pleasure in other places because he's been there and he's seen that there's no true pleasure there. That's the first thing. We have advantage. We know that it doesn't do it for us. It might give you a bit of pleasure for a short while, but then it goes away again. And we'll speak about that. Why it is like that? Why Yesh Mono wrote some assignment? Why didn't the Mono satisfy? He wanted $1 million. Well, he got his $1 million. Why is he not satisfied? Why does he have to have 2 million now? Why just not another million? Why does he have to get 2 million now? Why is it up? Important to understand that Chazal, Yesh Mono wrote some assignment. But we know that it doesn't give it to you. You know, you think, well, I just had that new car, if I just had this holiday, and you save up, and you work for it, and you get it, and it's very, in the beginning, it's very exciting for a little bit, and then you know, it's gone, finished. We know that. So why are you still looking for your pleasures out there? So if you're not hungry, then you don't go looking for food. But if you're hungry, you're always going to be looking for something, and it can never fill you. That's the scary thing here. You'll never be satisfied. No chosel amuna. But if we recognize and realize we're not lacking anything, that's samach b'chelpe. We're not lacking anything, not b'guruch. There's all the gashkas. The Chazon Ish has a very frightening line. He says somebody who knows the light of truth, somebody who has seen the light of truth, whatever that means, will never know sadness. He doesn't know what it means to be sad. It's like a most astounding statement I've ever heard. And the way the Chazon Ish suffered, the Chazon Ish wasn't, it's not coming from somebody whose life was, was good or whatever. He never had Chumach Molotzlan. His family was wiped out in the Holocaust, whatever, but this wasn't a man who didn't know what suffering was. The Chazon Ish was an enormously sensitive man. He cried, dropped the... And that's what he said. Somebody knows the light of truth can know sadness. Now, I don't know what the light of truth is. I don't know what that means, but that's what he said. So you understand, you're not lacking anything. Everything's good. I pull the kuvah, ainad milvadeh. So then, yeah. Ne'emar aleinu, atem kriyim Adam. The Torah tells us, atem, you the Jewish people, are called Adam. Ve'ainam usayim koru Adam. First thing is, we're very proud of our Yiddishkeit and of the fact that we were zeichet to this thing called Tzelem Elokim. Tov lanu bebeiteinu, it's good at home, kefi shenema, shifti bebeis Hashem. That's all David HaMelech asked for, is shifti bebeis Hashem. Why? Because that's good, there's everything there. Tov lanu leshevis betzil demenusa lis'aneg al ziv ha'shchina. What's wrong with just sitting and just being with Hashem? Zu ave betanugim. That's the love that comes from the pleasure that we have. Toid lanu bekim mitzvayis avasiyas ritzvene shel Hashem. Malanu chapes tanugim bebayus nishborim asher lo ichilu hamayim. What are we looking for? Even if it wouldn't be good for us with Hashem, what are you doing looking for pleasures outside when you know they don't? They're not. The lo shavalanu. The lo shavalanu. We know that. Everybody knows it. I don't know anybody that ever did an aveira and turn it afterwards and said, wow, it was shaveh. Now I'm going to burn, but it's a mama shaveh. I spoke to Yisi Loshon Hora for 15 minutes, and then a week later he says, I don't care what happens, that was mamash worth it. And I've never met anybody, if you know anybody, that mamash can say that, somebody who knows a little bit, turn around after he did something he shouldn't have done and said, yep, I shaveli. Shaveli? Never, ever was such a thing. We always come away knowing shelo shavalon. So if you understand that, so why do you keep going back? Because that's not enough. It's not enough to lo shavalon. You have to know who I am. You have to have the pleasure that you have from your Yiddishkeit, that you don't need to look for the pleasure elsewhere. The not having pleasure in your Yiddishkeit and trying to fill it with other pleasures, you keep going back to that. Because a person has to have pleasure. We were created to have pleasure. Adam einu nivra ela lisanei. The person was created, the Mesillas Yisroel says, for pleasure. Now, he tells you what the best pleasure is, and he tells you how to go about getting it. But if you're not getting it, you're going to look for pleasure elsewhere. There's no such thing as a person who'll sit back and say, "Yeah, I don't need sipuk, I don't need pleasure. I'm happy being miserable. Just leave me alone, and I'm fine. I'm happy being miserable." You know, no. Everybody's looking for happiness. Everybody wants to be great. Everyone wants to fulfill the potential. So if he's not, he's doing it in a kosher way. He's going to do it in a non-kosher way. There's no such thing as just sitting back and free fall. There ain't a buck, is it? So that's the thing we need to know. The yesod here is that if you're always going to focus on the law, shavalonu, and I'm not saying you should do that, that's important, we have to do that. But it's not enough. You have to also focus on the tovlonu, on how awesomely wonderful our opportunities are, so that the other enticements won't draw us. Just being negative about the other enticements doesn't always work. You need it. Also important, but we need to get into the positive mode. It says in Shir HaShirim, Chiku machmorim v'kulo mantakim, zeh doiri v'zeh roi. Choku machmadim v'kulo mantakim. Machmadim is from nechmad, and mantakim is sweetness. That's my doiri v'zeh roi. That's my beloved, that's my uncle, my beloved, and that's my spouse. Chokum achmodim v'kuloi mamtakim. All, it's all sweet, it's beautiful. Yeshnil v'adachim, and I'm translating Shir HaShirim is not an easy thing. Yeshnil v'adachim, and es mabitinu, elo eisha nitzchi, where we will start aiming Lashon kivun means to aim. Kavana means to direct, to aim your thoughts. We will start directing our perspective, our look, our mabat, at our eternal pleasure, what's waiting for us, eternal happiness. When we'll learn to dig deep and look inside ourselves, you'll see our life of the Torah is full and full of pleasure. Nilmad ad kama hamitzvus v'halachoseyen mugvonoseh. You have to work at this. This is not something you just sit back, wow, suddenly you get blown away. There's shortcuts to pleasure, and Klal Yisrael has searched for those shortcuts all along. There's always some yid inventing some new shortcut to get the pleasure, substitute pleasures that you don't want to get in Yiddish, but because it takes a bit of work. Hashabosos v'yomim tovim kol yom tov muhusu v'anabosos v'kol echad mem and the tovim pam shonim. Every Shabbos is different. Every yom tov is different. It's just different time. This obviously takes work. If one just blunders into Shabbos without being any preparation, and Shabbos just doesn't do it for me. No, you got to do it for Shabbos. In the work, in the preparation, learn about it, understand it, meditate about it. Same as any mitzvah you do. If you just do the mitzvah without understanding and learning what people are doing, it's like a kuf that doesn't have a neshama. The more halacha you learn, the more you understand it, the more you're going to the underlying background, even the rishon, you start making an avoid of it. That's when you start touching it and you start getting the honey that's hidden in there. And it takes time and it takes work. That's why we give up very quickly, because it's just too hard. But you take something small and you work on it. You work on it. Vakol koman yen v'nifla. Each one is just unbelievable. It's wondrous. Everyone's different. Some people get it from going through the Parsha and seeing what the Parsha has to offer. Other people go through and understand the opportunities to just sit quietly and get in touch with reality. And some people like the family and whatever pleasure you get. Not everyone's going to get the same pleasure. Not two people are the same. So you have to work out for yourself. But it's overdue. I should have said this a long time ago. But a person needs to know what he enjoys. A person needs to know what his pleasures are. If you ask people today, tell me something, what's your pleasure? A lot of people look at you like you're nuts. I don't know what you're talking about. I once gave this talk many, many years ago, but maybe Jonathan, you'll remember this. We used to do this in the Yeshiva way back when. I think we used to do it at 5:30 even. So I spoke about this, about a person needs to know what his pleasures are, needs to know what he enjoys. I think it was in one of the marriage sharing. And after the share, somebody came up, one of the bottom came up, he wanted to talk to him privately. He wanted to know what his pleasures should be. Well, that's only in the 21st century somebody could ask questions. What are your pleasures? What are they? And what do you care what they should be? What do you enjoy? That's what you've got to get in touch with. What should you enjoy? You should enjoy what you enjoy. That's find a kosher way to enjoy what you enjoy. Otherwise, why is it there? I was like shocked. Now, Mamash, I was talking about to me in all sincerity. With Mamash sincere, wants to know, like, so what should he choose as a pleasure? No, you have to find, okay. That doesn't need more elaboration. That was my first introduction to how almost hopeless the situation is. Okay. But that's the truth. If a person will scrape away a little bit, he'll see what pleasure there is lurking in every aspect of a Yiddishkeit. The Purim Smechim Adelayod, the Pesach Chemus Tchusha Chemus Niflo, the Swish Yishna Kabbalah Satayra Ba'abu Bibiru, the Tisha Ba'av, the Ablim Al Mesois Libainu. Even Tisha B'Av, a person has to do with a certain amount of symptoms, fighting the symptoms. There's still pleasure there in having a place where we can mourn and we can reflect. We can get in touch with Hashem in that mode. If we'll start getting our pleasure from these aspects of our life, from the 613, so then the world out there stops manyaning you. It just doesn't have what to offer. It doesn't have what to offer anymore. Not because it's bad and not because it's disgusting. No, it could be very good and pleasant and healthy. It's just the woman you know the kach. Pam shol yehudi mahu chesar ni b'shabbos kodesh ni mayen bi ton kolshu. Hare b'shuli ze oin nek Shabbos. You can fill in your own. This person asked about what's wrong with reading a newspaper on Shabbos. That's my oin nek Shabbos. You can fling whatever you want, reading newspapers, whatever, oh, whatever man. It is. It's a tshuva nitein lazbi moshe. He says, I'll give you a moshe. There's nothing wrong with reading a newspaper. Mabaya, I'll give you a moshe. The chosen b'yom chuposet. Let's say you have a chosen on the day of his chupa. U'mitkarev l'cheda yichud. You know, get into the mood, you've gone to the chupa, you fasted the whole day, the chupa, now his mama, she's with loving in the chupa, now he's, they're walking from the chupa, they're singing, they're dancing from the chupa, and he's getting closer and closer to the cheda yichud. And as they get to the door of the cheda yichud, the petach cheda yichud, u'mavakash mikalosa chadasha, שתשרור לו עליי מעט עיתון שלא יספיק לקרוא בבוקר. Says to Kala, just excuse me a few minutes, but today we're very busy getting ready for the wedding. I never had a chance to read the newspaper. I just need money for read the newspaper. Nikarim kam choyse ichpatiyut v'choyse enoshiyut. You think, what's wrong with reading a newspaper? It's also to read a good kosher newspaper, the humble year, the attack. No, there's nothing wrong with reading a newspaper. That's not what we're talking about. There may be something wrong with the newspaper. I don't know, that's not my subject. To understand that right now, wanting to read a newspaper is just a total lack of understanding where you are and what you're doing. You're showing a total lack of humanity, never mind anything else. Do I just should shame? Come on, it's just bullshit. It's anybody would say, but like, I don't understand. What did you do wrong? What's wrong with reading the newspaper? I don't know shame who machshiv is kalosar. You don't understand. You don't understand that there's a kaliya. You don't understand what you're supposed to be doing. You know nothing. You don't understand. You just got married 30 seconds ago. They're completely out of touch with reality. V'chein binyanu, kashinanu boim liyziach inim akosh bolcho b'shabbos kodesh. Well, Shabbos needs a lot of work because it comes every week and we get very, you know, familiarity breeds contempt to a certain extent. And especially now, we're very difficult to avoid it because a lot of the chavaya that we have from Shabbos, you know, you have visitors and family comes, and now that's not so kosher. You're not having the family and you're not having the distractions that come with the kids and the grandkids and whatever, and the geshmak and davening, and then so it becomes even more of a problem, more of an inyan that a person has to work on. It's not kosher at all, not kosher at all. But you're in the chayde yichud with Hashem. אז כפי עשה איתן, היינו זיר זו בקדושת השבת, זיר בייחוד עם השם שציבה על השבת. זה זיר זו לא בקלה. It's a complete זיר זו of what Shabbos Kodesh is. Now, if you don't have an appreciation for this, and you want to have an appreciation for this, you have to work, you have to learn. I think this way, it's a Mayedic Sefer called Shabbos Malchosa. It goes through all the facets of the diamond called Shabbos. Amazing, amazing Sefer. I think we learned it in this Vard as well many, many years ago. Very deep sefer, very amazing sefer. Remember when he wrote it? But in the Hagama there, he says, everybody knows what Pesach is, Shuas, Yom Kippur, everyone knows what it is. We make a big Esek, a big avoid out of it. But very few people know what Shabbos is. You know, Pesach is Yom Chereseinu, Shuas is Yom Matan Chereseinu. What's Shabbos? So he says there, in the Hagama, go have a look, he says, Shabbos is Yom Shel Hashem. Yom Shel Hashem. You step into Hashem's world on Shabbos. And the world of Hashem comes into our world. On Shabbos, you step into Hashem's world. You're like the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash. You step into Hashem's world. So in Hashem's world, there's certain things you do and there's certain things you don't do. You know, there are many mashalim here, you know, your parents are coming to visit, they haven't been here for 2 years and they're coming to you for Shabbos and whatever, and as they arrive at the house, you lie down and start reading the newspaper, you know, or you get asleep. There are a lot of mashalim you can come up with to yourself, but wherever it is, if it's in Shabbos, you don't want to do the work, wherever it is, we need to do work with this. This doesn't happen naturally. Fine. When a person lives with the first halach in Shulchan Aruch, we're not talking about Midas Chassidus, we're talking about Kabbalah, we're not talking about big daggers, we're talking about the first halach in Shulchan Aruch. When a person lives with Hashem constantly, Shavisi Hashem, lo yal al daitan upzol litzdogit. So then he doesn't think to go running around anywhere else. Lo yan yenoto klau ma'anes avoylam. He doesn't care what's going on in China, in Ogogua, lo, what's going on in America. It's a lo man yenoto. Kuli ye molaba ava kisufim betaluyim Hashem isborach. There's nothing wrong with knowing what's going on in the world. What you need to know, you need to know. No one says not. But it's a law, it's not for death after what's going on and how many and what and who and where. And, well, once a day he listens to the news, twice a day maybe he listens to the news, whatever. It was a big misogynist. If you find out not maybe do that, I'm not going to tell you, because you find your own issues, your own ways of working. But I'm just saying, I'm in your thought, what do you care what's going on in Iceland? Yeah, but since you heard, there was a fine, lovely, I heard. Okay, move on. People can spend hours and hours talking about what's going on in parts of the world. It's not relevant. It's not shaykh, maybe cloud. What's the redifa? You know, take 10 minutes a day or 15 minutes a day. Listen to what's going on. You need to know what you're done for. You need to know what's going on. You know, you need to know when to wear a mask or not to wear a mask. Whatever you need to find. And then move on. But what's the big draw? The big draw is that you're not getting it from anywhere else. So this is big. This is big. This is massive. You're talking about stepping into a whole new world. He's talking about living in a new place. A place we haven't been to before. And that's not so possible. That's a nisayon of lech lecha. Step out of your Hergailim, your normal existence, and step into a whole new world. That's not so possible. As we said yesterday, that has to be done with cheshbon and with chokhmah. It's not something you just dive into, because unfortunately somebody once gave me, I had them, I don't know where they are now, I had more than 10 places in the Vilna Goy writings where it's awesome, it's not a good idea, awesome for a person to skip levels in his spiritual climb. But not even said he's Yisharim, there's 10 levels you need to go through, and he says he's Yisharim. Start skipping levels, the Lord going says it's awesome. You can't do that. You have to take one small step at a time. The only time you're allowed to jump is on Laila Seder. Laila Shimurim, Pesach, can be Pesach, he says, on the levels, but even there, it's not for too long, because the next day starts Sefiras HaOmer, and you have to actually rebuild piece by piece, one step at a time, what you leap towards on Pesach. So even there, it's not a permanent expression. Whenever I say this, people ask me, yeah, but you see, there were people that were koinei olam b'shachas. There were people that did leap from mente sharik tumet to being koinei olamai. So Rabbi Berkowitz once pointed this out to me. In every place where the Torah tells us, the Gemara tells us that people were koinei olam b'shachas, they always died. They always died. There was no one that was koinei olam b'shachas and carried on living. So it's not highly recommended that path. Our path is one off, one small step at a time. Calculate it, take the step out of real in the direction of ideal, and when you manage to do that, then celebrate it and enjoy it, take enormous pleasure in it. Okay, Kuflamad right at the bottom there. Keshen esin chayv liyoz b'moy al ave, al regesh v'al kir v'ishit. The marriage bond has to be built on love, on regesh, on feeling, on emotion, v'al kir v'ishit, drawing close. Getting close to each other. Yudi she'enu chash bo isa'ave, Yudi she'enu meide lekesh ha'ishi shelo im boiro oilam. This Jew who doesn't have this emotional pleasure of love, this feeling of emotional pleasure of love, yes, for Hashem, and he doesn't see, doesn't acknowledge, doesn't recognize or admit to this personal relationship that he has with the boiro oilam, Damim Yase, with Kola Mitzvahs B'Shleimus. I'm telling you something now which you haven't thought about it, but as you hear this, you're going to say, yeah, of course, we see that all the time. Even if you'll do all the Mitzvahs B'Shleimus, Olulu La'abed Es Musachai, you could lose the essence of his life. You'll be keeping all the Mitzvahs but big to Brav, and you'll excuse me for saying this, but his Shiloh Sani Goy that he says in the morning could be a Brachol of a Kol. Because he has no Shaykhus. There's no Shaykhus to his Yiddishkeit whatsoever. He's doing the mitzvah. But and it's Choshu. Don't get me wrong, I'm not Chas V'Chalila, but let me for 1 second. Not Choshu. But the essence of what life is really about, he could be missing completely. Raka Sheneide Va'ifen Baru Ki Ein Lanu Mekor Acher La'asogus Tainu Emes. Only when we understand with clarity, it doesn't mean we're doing it yet. It doesn't mean we're doing it yet. We need the awareness. I said this yesterday, well, I'm going to keep saying it. Just the awareness. the awareness of what he's saying here, just to be a little bit, even a few minutes a day, just to think about what he's saying already makes you a different person. Even if you're nowhere near holding that, you're still getting a lot of pleasures from places you shouldn't be getting them from. But you're aware that there's a difference between what's called Jewish pleasure and the other pleasure. That awareness alone takes you to a new dimension. If you know for sure, clear, that you can't get any pleasure from anywhere else, except from my beloved and my spouse, from Hashem, he's waiting. Only then can you plant, can you get into your heart this flame of love and build the kesher that you need and to resonate and be in sync with a Boreh Olam. That's the avoider. That is to take a lot of work of clarity of recognizing. Right now I'm not holding there. Not holding there is never a problem for understanding the ideal. Just because you're not holding there doesn't mean you brush it under the carpet. No, you have to have the courage to look and see what is them, what is Torah Shkof in this situation. Very often, and I've found this often, these people, because the Torah Shkof is so high, it's so far, the ideal is so irrelevant to us, because it is so distant from us, that we disregard it. We disregard it, and we lose one of the most powerful tools we have to change. But they have the courage to put the ideal on the table and say, okay, that's the ideal. And then go have a look and see, okay, so now where am I holding in relation to that ideal? Well, very far away. I mean, we're not talking about how far the stars are, we're talking about how the next galaxies are far. I mean, we're talking about unattainable. Okay, so what's the problem? That's fine. We leave the ideal where the ideal is, and I accept the real. And I slowly start heading towards the ideal, fully well knowing I'm probably never going to get there. That's not the point. And the point is I have a direction founded now. I know where I'm supposed to be going, and therefore I have a way of evaluating whether I'm moving forward or backwards. You know, you have some way at the end of the day of saying, okay, did I come closer to my goal? Did I go further away from my goals? But if we'll take the ideal and chop it or throw it away or lower it, or we'll pretend that we're holding somewhere where we're not, so then you'll never get anywhere. You know, if you're in Beit Shemesh and you need to get to Jerusalem, so you need to know that you're in Beit Shemesh, however disappointing that might be. You're supposed to be in Jerusalem now, but you find yourself in Beit Shemesh. But you have a meeting in Yerushalayim now, but you're in Beit Shemesh. So you can pretend that you're in Yerushalayim. You know, you can project yourself out of Beit Shemesh to be in Yerushalayim. Or you can pretend that you don't really need to be in Beit Shemesh, you need to be in Ramah Bet, and you're in Ramah Aleph, which makes the goal a bit closer. But really, you're supposed to be in Yerushalayim. Now, it might be very disappointing that you're not there. But if you really want to get to Yerushalayim, you may get there a bit late, you may never get there. That's not the point. But your job is to start taking small steps towards getting to Yerushalayim. That's the way we have to go through life. When you live life like that, life becomes a lot less complicated. We're supposed to be living with total, full connection and pleasure in our Yiddishkeit with Hashem, Shivis Hashem, and Megitom, with Einod Milvadei. These are things, goals, which might seem way beyond our comprehension, way beyond our attainment. Woo, fine, that's the truth. What can I tell you? That's what a person has to do. It's of Yichud Hashem, Avos Hashem. These are not things which you can just throw away because they're too hard. Put them on the table, have the courage to face them, and put yourself on the table next to them, and have the courage to see where you're really holding, however disappointed you may be with where you're really holding, except that that's who you are, and that's where Hashem wants you to be right now, and now make some decisions about how I want to move out of where I am towards where I want to go. That's the way we deal with this, because these goals are very, very high, and they even sound strange to us a little bit. We're so influenced by the Western world, we're so influenced by our surroundings, even the Fum world, terribly influenced by the Fum world, whatever, that these Musagim are very often belittled. People who start trying to live like this and think like this and stay normal with this. I'm not talking about becoming Meshuggah, talking about normal. So people start to feel this and think you're a Meshuggah. They start speaking, you're a Meshuggah. I haven't got time now, Mitzvah Shema, we'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow. And we're just left to talk about why they have this, we never got a chance, the story of Yesh Mono Reitz Masayim. Why that is Mukhrach, why that has to be like that. There's no other way for the world to work. If Yesh Mono Reitz Masayim, why it has to be like that. There's, no way to avoid that if you don't understand what we're talking about here. Okay, fine. Any questions? Otherwise, Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow, same time, Mitzvah Shem.
That was fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rav Shem.